The essence of the light is to guide our walk. There can be problems outside us. There must not be problem within. Don't protect corruption. Don't edge corruption. Don't face corruption. Expose it. Let light shine on it.
The words that I speak unto you are spirit and life, meant to make you grow. The light of God shines in every heart that desires to know God in His true nature. You are welcome to this divine feast at the table of the Lord as we journey from one level of faith to another by the revelation of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through His minister, we believe you'll be richly blessed.
Lord, we're grateful for the privilege that by your Spirit we have been called to be partakers of your divine nature. Lord, we thank you for this high calling in Christ Jesus. And we trust that you will open the eyes of our understanding so that the work of faith will be wrought in us by your Spirit. And let there be a divine exchange whereby our name, your name, will be glorified in us and us in you. We worship you. We give you the glory. We've come to lay down our pain. We've come to lay down our weaknesses. We've come to lay down our presumption. We've come to lay down our ego. We've come to lay it all down and to receive your grace and receive your life and receive your strength and receive the beauty of your holiness. We worship you. Lord, we pray this afternoon that you will speak your word with clarity, that you will cause your word to go forth with power, and let it bring about change and transformation, that you will open the eyes of our perception, that you will open the heavens upon us. We trust you for the download of the kingdom. Lord, that you will anoint my tongue like a pen of a red writer, and that you will change our lives. We don't ever want to be the same again. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your presence. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your walking. Glory, honor, majesty to our God. In Jesus' name we pray. Praise the Lord. Thank you, everybody. Thank you for your patience. Thank you for your endurance. You know, it takes a whole lot of discipline to attend, you know, conferences that are kingdom based, because you will not likely hear the things that would tickle, you know, your ears. Praise God. We will definitely virtually every time discuss things of eternal consequence, things that are quite serious. You know, like the disciples at some point they put it to the Lord Jesus, these are hard sins. Praise God. And you could blame them for anything. They have the ability to endure the truth. Praise the Lord. And we appreciate that grace in our means and upon us. And everybody that is listening and watching from across the globe, thank you. And God bless you in Jesus' name. I want to take our text, as it were, from the book of Daniel chapter 7. Daniel 7, we will read first just verse 13 and 14, and then we'll probably read verse 26 and 27. 13 and 14 says, I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, And there was given him dominion, glory, and a kingdom, and that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. And the scripture goes on to say, his dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall not be destroyed. Praise God. This is a very powerful portion of the Bible. A whole lot has been happening, and a whole lot will yet unfold. Practically, this scripture is about battle of the kings. You know, there are collision of kingdoms. And then we see forces emerging. The kings we're talking about here are not earthly kings. They are beasts that are brutal. And they're going to tame nations. And not only that, they will brutalize nations. They will wage influence over systems. And then the scripture says, in the course of all these, a major player in the, you know, different unfolding of the end of the age happenings, a major player came on scene, and it was the person of the Son of Man. As if he was the one that heavens had been waiting. You know, yesterday we saw the fact that the Bible says heaven must hold him. Heaven must, and when we check the root meaning of the word to hold him, is the word dekomei. It means heaven must trap him until the time of reconstruction of all things. It will only come in his people. Pastor Baylor was telling us today, you know, talking about there are certain formation, as it were, and frame the church must take in before the Lord can come in the fullness of his glory. So heaven is waiting on us as we supposedly are waiting for his coming. Heaven is what? Waiting on us. Waiting on us in terms of his people must be willing in the day of his power. Heaven is waiting on us. We take the initiative. We take the initiative by coming to the place of surrender, by laying hold on his grace, and we employ the grace of God for the Holy Spirit to walk through and get us ready. You know, the Bible says his bride must what? The bride must make herself ready. Praise God. So, the one creatures have been awaiting, that heavens have been awaiting, came on scene. And the scripture tells us, when he appears, he will come to establish his kingdom and his dominion. So the purpose of the coming of the Lord is the entrenchment of his kingdom in the earth. His kingdom will reign. His will be done. His glory will be revealed. Whether Satan like it or not. Whether you like it or not. Whether you fancy that emphasis or not. Praise God. The purpose of the coming of the Lord is to establish his reign. To establish the kingdom, the everlasting kingdom of the Father. That's the purpose. That's the whole essence of his coming. Praise God. You see, the coming of the Lord is what will be instrumental to legitimizing the day of our God. The coming of the Lord will what? Be instrumental to legitimizing the day of our God. is they will dawn and be fully revealed when he comes. Actually, as he comes. As what? He comes. You see, the coming of the Lord is a process of gradual arrival. It's not what will happen all at once. It's going to come and come and come until it will fully come. So that's why when you check the scripture, the word parousia means two things. It means successive coming. And second, it means the advent of his coming. So he must come and come and come and come. The purpose of his successive coming is to get the church ready. Then he will fully come. Then the dawn of God's day, the day of our God, will fully be established. Praise God. So the Bible tells us that when we come, we will be like him. Isn't that what the scripture says? That is God's day. We will reign with him. Everything we do will be what he does. Because we will see him as he is. Just as he is in heaven, so we will be on earth. That is absolute harmony. The gap will be fully bridged. Praise God. It says, as heaven is higher than the earth, so my thoughts, your thoughts, and my ways, your ways. The whole essence of the process of his coming is to align our thoughts with his thoughts and our ways with his ways. Then the church will be ready for the day of our God. When he comes, he's coming only for one purpose. You see, the intent of God is not two, only one. The intent of God is not what? It's not two, it's one. It is to establish his kingdom. And that's the cry that the Lord Jesus captured. Thy kingdom come! Thy will be done in the earth as it is in heaven. To bring earth into harmony with heaven. That is the intent of God. That's the reason for every other thing. If everything does not line up, if everything is not a means towards that, then we have missed it. Praise God. The Son of Man is coming. You see, the war will continue. The conflict in the nations will continue. The confusion will continue until the appearing of the Son of Man. The church will only have authority. And the church will only be relevant in these last days if we are awaiting the coming of the Lord. If the coming of the Lord is our message, if preparing ourselves and preparing the bride for his coming is our message, then we will be relevant. It doesn't matter how uneducated, it doesn't matter how unexposed, it doesn't matter anything else, it doesn't matter how poor or rich. If the coming of the Lord is our focal point, we will be relevant to the reckoning and valuation of heaven. And because the earth has been thrown into turmoil, you know, when we talked yesterday, we read about wars in the nations, and we read the word loimos in Greek, actually means pandemic. Global pandemic, viral infection, and pesticide. So, and it's going to break out in the earth. When the Lord Jesus said, there's going to be pestilence. What pestilence means is a pandemic. That's global viral infection. That every nation will be affected. And the Lord Jesus, when all this begins to happen, the end hasn't come yet. He used the word beginning of sorrows. Now, the word beginning of sorrow could be a bit challenging. When you capture it from the original concept, it's only one word, Odino. The word Odino means bed pangs. So that certain translation will say all of these are bed pangs. So all the shakings are intended as indication. They are meant to awaken the church that the day of our God is fast approaching. So it's like our God is coming. But the announcement for his coming is the shakings in the nations. Praise God. And when we begin to see these shakings, it's got to translate to the church as what? Bed bang. That means it can't be business as usual. There must be engagement in the heart of his people. Because the coming of the Lord is meant to be midwifed by the ecclesia. Praise God. It's not United Nations. It's not the institutions of this age. It is the church of the living God. Praise God. But one thing is so striking in the heart. When the scripture describes the nature of the kingdom that is coming to institute. And the description of the kingdom is that. That kingdom is going to have no end. It will never pass away. Every other kingdom is subject to corruption. Every other kingdom is what? Subject to corruption. Its dominion will never be ruined. The scripture tells us the reason is what? It is everlasting. Let someone say everlasting. This scripture is literally taken from the Hebrew word alam, but it's taken from the word olam. That's the word everlasting. Actually, it's the word eternal. That is the end. It's the word eternal. And the word means perpetuality. It's perpetuality from glory to glory to glory. That every moment captures a new unveiling of God. And the church that will give expression to different vast expression of his nature, his likeness, his reality, his glory, his beauty, his splendor is the same word captured as beauty of his holiness. The word beauty, actually, because for lack of expression, is the word newness in projection of his splendor. Praise God. And God is raising a church that will house our God. That will capture, that will give definition to the essence, to the endlessness of God. That is the kingdom. That is the dominion of our God. That will come with the day of God. Praise God. And we are the church that have been prepared for that. Amen. Perpetuality, timelessness, endlessness, inexhaustibility. And the word olam means deathlessness. So we will come into the day of our God because we will conquer death. Amen. Death is a major barrier. And we've got to be a church that are being equipped and prepared to overcome death. That's the church that will reign within the fullness of his dominion. Praise God. Let's read a little more. Let's read 26 and 27. Praise the name of Jesus. 26 and 27 says, but the judgment shall cease. It's about the courtroom of heaven. And shall take away his dominion. That's the fourth beast. Or the beast that will unveil and trouble the earth. To consume and destroy it unto the end. And the kingdom and dominion. And the greatness of the kingdom under the whole earth. Excuse me. Under the whole heaven. Shall be given to the people of the saints of the Most High. Whose kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. And his dominion shall serve. Excuse me. And all dominions shall serve and obeying, this will surely come to pass. And we are being prepared not never to spectate, but to be witnesses and be instrumental to the fulfillment of this whole counsel of God captured. Praise God. The scripture tells us here that God is raising up people in us that will come into His kingdom. We are entering. The whole essence of our relationship with God. One, the whole essence of our fellowship in the Spirit. The whole essence of the dealing of God in our lives is to get us ready to enter the kingdom. The Apostle Tosin just told us that there will be many born again processes that will bring us into the kingdom. Praise God. You see, being with the Lord is coming into the kingdom. It's raising a people that will be with Him. And be with Him. God is raising a people that will be one with Him. And be one with Him. You know, the more we become one with Him, the more we are being incorporated into His dominion. The more we're being prepared to come into the day of our God. So that suggests to me that the dawning of the day of our God is first of all going to be personal. I don't even get what I'm saying. So that means you can come to a point where you pressurize dimensions of heaven accessible to God's people, Ecclesia in the Spirit, that you come into the day of our God ahead of others. Praise God. But again, I believe ultimately He is seeking for a company. He's not seeking for an individual. He's seeking for what? A company. A critical mass. Once you have a critical mass, you see, God he's not looking for the body of Christ to be entirely turned. He's looking for a critical mass. Others will follow suit. They have no choice. But first of all, He's looking for what? A critical mass. And those are the saints of the Most High. Let's say saints of the Most High. I believe we all are aware that the word Most High is taken from the Hebrew word El Elyon. El Elyon. Let someone say El Elyon. The Most High. Praise God. It means the one that occupies the most elevated height. El Elyon. He is the Most High. And is raising His saints. No, in some sense, we are His saints. In another sense, He is preparing us to become His saints. The word saint here is taken from the word Kaddish. And the word Kaddish means reflections, vast reflections of the most sacred ones. Sorry, the most sacred one. The vast reflection. The vast rays of the most sacred one. So which means that our sainthood is entrenched in our union with Him. So that means every fabric of the life we exude will be authentically what is derived from Him. I don't even get what I'm saying. Every fabric of the life we exude, every fabric of the life we exude will be what? Authentically derived from Him. Nothing of the flesh, nothing of Adam, nothing of man. It will be derived from him. So these saints of the Most High are people who have been with him to the point of looking like him. They have been with him, now they are being like him. Those are the people he's coming to reign with. Those are the people he is going to entrust his everlasting dominion to. He's not giving it to any Dick and Harry. It's not going to be on the basis of blind trust. Praise God. It will be on the basis of conformity. He's entrusting his everlasting dominion to a people, not on the basis of blind trust, but on the basis of conformity. We must be like him. Then we will reign with him. We'll be entrusted with his everlasting dominion. Praise God. He's preparing the saints of the Most High. This is the revelation that the Lord showed Apostle Jude. Jude actually quoted Enoch. He said, just as Enoch prophesied. Actually, there's a record in history that captures some of the prophecy of Enoch. Don't worry about them. You get what I'm saying? You see the reflection of those prophecy, application of them in the Bible. Don't go and be looking for what is not missing. I must get. Let me say something to you. This is history. It was said by history that the first astrologers that discovered the stars followed the findings of Enoch. Now, just sometimes you study, we study. It's good to be vast, but don't go and be looking for what is not missing. Don't go and say, I must capture the revelation of Enoch. If God wants you to capture it, it will be in the Bible. Praise God. But Jude quoted Enoch. And what was it that Enoch saw? Enoch of the seventh generation. He saw concerning the coming of the Lord. He will come with 10,000 of his saints. God has a people. And he is preparing a people. A church within the church. That they carry the prototype of heaven as their primary concern. Praise God. A people who have jettisoned certain rights, legitimate rights of theirs, and have embraced the body of the will of God. And that is what they're living for. And the Lord Jesus is going to appear with them. And they will hold the nations in their hand. They will judge ungodly deeds. So there's a scripture given to them. The man that saw them is of the seventh generation. That has to be something that is relative to the emergence of these things. Seven is the number of perfection. It's the number of completion. So the basis of their relating with God is not to take. You know, Reverend Ken was telling you yesterday, you come and take. It's not to take. It's to behold. It's to be like him. Biblical perfection is not about sinlessness. Biblical perfection is about conformity. The word perfection is taken from the word teleos. That's the root word in Greek. And it means to come to the state of wholeness. The place, the state of completeness. The state of full grown in the spirits. The place of spiritual maturity. So that means that if we are becoming like him, ultimately we will do away with the things that hurt the law. So perfection doesn't start with trying to deal with the things that we presume to be wrong. The reason is because a whole lot of things that we presume to be right are actually wrong. Praise the Lord. Is raising up people that he will entrust his everlasting dominion to. That is the concept of the day of our God. It's the concept of the reign of his kingdom. And you know, the church is a legitimate body, an entity that has been destined to midwife the kingdom. The day of our God is about the kingdom. The kingdom of God being unveiled and being revealed in its totality. And we see the scripture says every other kingdom and dominion will serve them and serve his kingdom. And that strikes me, that brings to mind what Apostle John captured in Revelation 11:15, when he says that when the seventh angel trumpeted, and when he trumpeted, what he said, but he saw something, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our God, our Lord, and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. So that means, in the day of our God, every kingdom will be swallowed up by the kingdom of our God. That doesn't mean that systems will cease. Cosmos will not cease. Cosmos will only bow. Praise God. The kingdom of God will infiltrate all the kingdoms of the kingdom of God will mess up all the kingdoms of this world. So God is raising a dangerous people. Not people who are casual. Not people who are there to maintain status quo. Not people who are here to implement religious agenda, but people whose purpose will be to showcase God. That is what God is about. And that brings to mind the scripture Pastor Tosin, you know, dwelt on. I want us to read it again. Ephesians chapter 5. And the Bible talks about the glorious church. From 25-27. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. You know, every husband here, how many of us are married? I'm saying, men, married men. Hey, many of us have been joking. We've been jokers. Bible says we are to love our wives. Nothing less as Christ loved the church. How did Christ love the church? He gave himself for it. I don't know if this makes sense to you, that Jesus demanded that the church should show significant measure of responsibility before he paid the price. He never did. Did he demand for the church to show a significant measure of morality before he paid the price? Did he ask the church to behave well self? Did he ask the church? Did he ask the church to lay down its own life first? So that makes it ridiculous, some of our demands. Where you demand that your wife should be reasonable and sensible, your wife should be purposeful. You demand change before you lift a finger. No. No. Praise God. In the face of moral failure, the Lord Jesus laid down his life. We did not deserve it. Many of us, we mise our love and our sacrifice. Because we're too demanding. There's no condition placed on the sacrifice we are meant to give in our marriage. Because that is the injunction. Not from man, but from God. To love our wives as Christ loved the church. when she doesn't live up to the standard, you lead by example. That's what the Bible says. When it is painful, lay down your life. You know something? There's nothing that changes like sacrifice. Love is the greatest, strongest weapon. Praise God. People change because God raised lovers. People accept them just as they are. But a lot of times, we as humans, there's a selfish tendency in us that we will accept the other person only when they change or they show a measure of remorse. Praise God. So many a times, as husbands, we have failed in many ways. But the Bible says, when you lay down your life, what you are doing is that you are sanctifying her. When you show love and give sacrifice, you are sanctifying her. It's a matter of time she will change. And that's what the Lord is showing for the church. It is called affection. Affection. True forgiveness. True acceptance. Affection. Affection. That it might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. You see, the Lord's word carries weight in our heart. Because of what? Because of the affection he has shown us. You see, you can obey someone, but not out of love. A lot of people who serve Satan, it's not out of love. When the Baba tells you that by 2 a.m. you don't make the incantation, you will run mad. You know, you will sleep. Praise God. You will not sleep at all. You will wake up, your eyes will be wide open. That is sacrifice. Not out of love, out of compulsion. No, that's not what the Lord showed. It has to be willful. It has to be willingly. It has to come from the heart. And that's how he's going to raise and groom glorious church. I always have a philosophy. I encourage people to serve God, but I never harass them. Everything we do that is not born out of conviction is not accepted in the sight of God. But we have to encourage. We have to motivate. Praise God. We have to motivate. We have to stir. We have to encourage. We have to lift one another's hand, but never harass, never control, because you can achieve it. Only that when you're not there, nobody will do your bidding, because it was never born out of love. Praise God. So the scripture says it is by the washing of water, but we give attention to the word because we respond to his affection. By the washing of water. Scripture specifically used the word cleansing. What's the first word? Sanctify. That's what it says, sanctify. Wants to sanctify. The word sanctify is the word igiazo. Wants to set apart. That's what the word does. The word sought us out. Set apart. Set us apart. The word scrutinizes. And the word of God set us apart from the ways of this world, philosophies of this world. And not only that, the world purges. It cleanses. The word to wash literally means to bath. Bath with water. Lutron means to bath with water. To wash is washing dirt and washing, you know, things in you that are capable of contaminating. So that's why we don't joke with the world. Two things we don't joke with. We must make ourselves constantly available for the world. Hearing the word, reading the word, studying the word, meditating the word, consume the word all the time, in form of music, in form of text, in form of Bible reading. Get audio Bible, praise God. Just get your mind, yourself, busy consuming the word. Keep hearing the word, keep reading, keep studying the word, because washing is taking place through the word. Praise God. As we intimate ourselves with the word is cleansing, the word is washing. You don't have to be deliberate about it. There are times we are deliberate and intentional, but we should just create the ambience where anyone that comes to our world, what they will first interface with will be the word. Just listen to what, to the word, and keep hearing the word. And before you know it, sanctification is taking place. You see, when sanctification takes place, our taste bud changes. That is to say, what we desire and what we admire, our value system altered. Our taste bud, our palate changes. Our sense of judgment changes. The discernment changes. That's what the word does. The word purges us. You just become tolerant. But isn't this guy that is so impatient? You just become tolerant because purging has happened. Praise God. And the scripture says that if we allow the purging and sanctification, then the Lord can present us to Himself. You get the word? He wants to do what? Present us. When He's presenting us, it's not to the world. It is to Himself. As cleansing and purging is taking place. Actually, the word present sort of like has about three meanings. It's taken from the Greek word paristema. And the word paristema first means He is absorbing us into Himself. He is incorporating us. The word paristema is almost like using the word fellowship. When you check some of the meaning to say fellowship, is absorbing us. You see, it's never going to absorb us if on the first look, let me put it this way, it would not absorb and take in anyone that is not sanctified. Anyone that is not what? Sanctified. Anyone that is not purged, he will not take in. He will not absorb. He will not incorporate into the mysteries if we are not yet sanctified. If our makeup and our frame is earthly, we will not be absorbed by the Lord. We will not come into His day. We will not come into His reign. We will not enter His kingdom. That's what paristema is, to absorb, is to bring in. The word paristema also means He will align with His prototype. He, the Lord, is the prototype. Praise God. So the cleansing and the sanctification is to reformat us. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. You see, we have taken on faulty frame. The faulty frame we have taken on spiritually is called earthly. It's called what? We are in an earthly state. Praise God. So our sense of judgment, every time the frame is wrong, the glory is wrong. Isn't that so? It's terrestrial. The glory is terrestrial. It's wrong. And He needs to deal with that first. He is the standard. He is the specifications. and we will align with him. So the word presenting to himself, the word paristema, thirdly, actually means to showcase. So that's what a lot of times many Christians are familiar with, who are actually conversant with the present truth. We're familiar with the fact that God wants to showcase the church, isn't that? That's the last part. It's the last end of the ladder. Before he will showcase the church, he must absorb the church into himself. Before he showcases the church, we must align with him. Then he can show forth the church. He will show forth his glory. He will show forth himself in us, that he might present to himself a glorious church. It's not any kind of church. It's a church that carries the frame of glory. It's a church that exudes its essence. Praise God. Having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be what? Holy and without blemish. That is what we are becoming. This is our preparation for God's day. Amen. But the glorious church. That's what heaven is doing. Let's see the way our Paul describe it in Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians 6. We read verse 19 and 20. Verse 19 says, and for me, okay, let's take it from verse 18. Thank you. It says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with our perseverance and supplication for all saints. You know, we have to be careful of something. You know, God is the God of precision. But you know, sometimes what is required of us is obedience. Your obedience must not follow every specified precept. What God is primarily concerned about is the heart. Praise God. Just do his will. You may not know much. Just obey. In the place of obeying, more will be added to us. Isn't that so? More will be added to. God doesn't want the kind of Christian that piles up. We pile up instruction and pile up revelation. Just obey. So a lot of people are like, is your prayer accurate? They're concerned about primary every utterance of the prayer, every word spoken. No, God is not concerned about that. What God is concerned about is that make petition. The word prayer, with every prayer means petition. Make supplications. Watch in the Spirit and be consistent. Praise God. Make intercession for the saints. That's what God is concerned about. No doubt about the fact that when we have the foundation of the Word, you get it. The Holy Spirit has weapon he can use. The Word of God in the heart, not the Word on the text. The Word in the heart are the bullets, they are the missiles that heaven can use. Praise God. In the place of prayer. So then Paul then went on to say that, why you make all these prayers? Remember us. Pray for us. Verse 19. And for me, that what? Utterance be given. What have they asked for? And that I will open my mouth boldly. Second. Third. And to make what? The mystery of the gospel. Let's look at 12, 20. For which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You know, Pastor Delot said something this morning. There's a difference between preachers and messengers. God is raising and sending forth messengers, not preachers. You may not be a preacher, but you must be a messenger. Because a messenger A preacher is one that spoke the word with so much passion. A messenger is the one. You know, I love the way a guy was described. Said, "I am the Lord's messenger in his message." A messenger is the one who exemplified the word. Praise God. So when we are committed to the word, we are committed to doing the will of God and obeying him. When we now speak the word, we are not speaking the word out of emptiness. The premise from which the word is being spoken is from the premise of fruitfulness. It's from the premise of the fact that we are engaging the process. We are responding and yielding to the Lord. We're constantly judging ourselves. We are like, "Lord, help me. Help me to know you." Praise God. "Help me to walk in your ways. Help me to behold you." When we then speak the word from that premise, it's a different level of impact and penetration. That's exactly what Paul is praying for here. He's praying that we do not just come and display charisma. That when we come, it is the mysteries of the gospel that we're making known. Praise God. That is what makes us New Testament preachers. That we come to unveil the mysteries of the gospel. As a matter of fact, he used the word "one mystery." Should I shock you? In the New Testament, there's only one mystery. He called it the mystery of the gospel. No doubt about the fact that in that mystery, there are mysteries. Every time the scripture talks about mysteries, don't only think of information. Yes, mysteries is like two different levels of divine secret. Not just the content. It begins with the content. God opening our eyes and opening our understanding. So the purpose of the content, if truly we have seen his face and we have perceived the mysteries, we will be brought into his mystery. Praise God. So the word mystery, mysterion, is the word that is actually used by occult. When they have like the inner secret courts, that if you have not been initiated, you are not brought in to share their life. So if you have not been initiated into him, you are not brought in to understand his life, his intent. There's a life that they share. Praise God. It's a Zoe. You must be initiated. So the question is that, what makes for our initiation? Then we see one powerful word used by Paul here when he described himself as ambassador in his bonds. There is a price. Let someone say there is a price. The word bond here is taken from the word alusis. And the word alusis means, it means, it almost literally means bond. It means chain, fetter. You know, when you have been held by fetter, what has been taken from you? Somebody, one word. Freedom. Your freedom has been taken. You don't say that. Let me go and watch the match between Chelsea and Arsenal. No, you can't say that. Because I want to go and visit my best friend. No. You have become your own best friend. Your liberty has been taken from you. And that's exactly what the Lord is taking from us. If we will hand over our liberty to him, then he will bring us into his inner circle. The one that is within the inner circle. But wants our liberty. He wants you not to exercise the right to say what you want to say when you want to say it. He wants us to be broken. He wants us to be constrained. He wants our tongue to be bridled. Praise God. He wants us to be held captive. The people that will reign with him are the captives of the Lord. Praise God. So everything about our life is scrutinized by his will. Then he will entrust us with authority. Praise God. So we can see three things that makes for the messengers of the Lord in the New Testament. The first one is the unveiling of his mystery, the mystery of the kingdom. Then the second one is utterance. Somebody say utterance. You see, utterance is not just ability to speak. It's not a sweet talker. Praise God. Let somebody say utterance. You know what utterance makes for? It makes for access. God is giving what? Us access. Utterance makes for access. Utterance is given to people who are held in fetters. Utterance means the things the Lord has showed me, he wants to bring many in. Isn't that so? Sometimes the things he has not even shown me, he just opened my understanding so as to bring us in. So utterance is very powerful. So when we have conferences like this, we are trusting God for utterance. Because utterance makes for access. We cannot ascend without utterance. Utterance is like the lift that the Lord sends to take us up. So when he says come up either, it means he has given utterance. Another thing he's given that we need is boldness. That's what makes for the messenger of the Lord. That's one of the boldness. Boldness is the fearlessness and the confidence, the audacity to declare the counsel of God without reservation. Praise God. You see, it is man's to want to be politically correct. It is a man's nature. It is a man's nature to not want to offend. I understand there's a place of spiritual skillfulness. You get it. Where we line up online, you don't just amass everything and everybody is choke. You get what I'm saying? It's so choky. Simply because I'm so in a hurry that everybody must come in. There's a place for wisdom when God begins to break it down and give it to us in beats. You get what I'm saying? But whether in beats or in pieces or in whole, we must pray for boldness. The gospel, the mysteries of the gospel must be taught and proclaimed with boldness, without any reservation. It's not easy for preachers. Sometimes they look at faces and they get intimidated. Sometimes some atmospheres are so hostile. Even nature. And you know what? Principalities are real. So a preacher is here. He has come with the counsel of God. The Lord has given him a word in due season. And when he looks at faces, a certain statement has been made. It's like, if you dare say those things. Praise God. And the poor man of God or woman of God is roaming about the bush. I'm just trying to say that I say that when I say it, and if I say it. So what Paul is praying is that you guys prayed for me. And when you pray that everywhere we go to, that we will declare the mysteries of the gospel and do so boldly. That we're not going to look at faces. We will not be cowed or be intimidated or harassed by the territorial spirits that govern certain positions an environment. Praise God. But we would declare it, and he said it emphatically, that we may speak boldly. Very important. You see, ability to speak boldly is embedded in the process of conquering. That means we have conquered fear. Praise God. We have conquered what? Fear. What fear are we talking about? Fear of death. They love not their lives unto death. So when he speak the word, he may not be invited next year. Praise God. They may just cancel his invitation. And when he speak the word, he may just have lost friends. Because sometimes when you count the cost, it's good to have people. You see, out there, everywhere you've been to, you have been rejected. This one, the few people that give attention and receive your call, I call you and find out how you're doing, how good you're doing. Praise God. Sometimes you are starved of resources. I say, Pastor, you just come out and say nonsense. No problem. Maybe it's because a wonderful man of God told me this, was a PA to a major, major man of God in Lagos. He said this to me many years ago, probably about 15 years ago or more, maybe about 18 years ago. I think it must have been about 18 years ago or 15, between 15 and 18. He said, this man of God, he struggles. Sometimes when we're together, he begins to say that the kingdom of God is not the nonsense we do here in this church. The church is a mega church, a major empire. He said the message is not what is being preached. And he begins to talk about the message. And talk about the message. When he goes up there, he dare not. And he said, this is not what we're being. And sometimes he's praying, he's asking God for help and asking God for mercy with tears. So that's why when God is talking about some of these men, he will bring them. You see, some of them, what you hear them see on the pulpit is not what goes on within. He said there are times they cry. And so therefore, some of these people pray for him. They pray for him. You see, he said once in a while, he will get angry and walk up to the pulpit and scatter everything. He said all this nonsense we've been building this man empire. Many of you will go to hell. We're leaving you and you are hailing us. He told me that I was given a word and it was just confirming. He said, yesterday, a pastor went on that pulpit and teared down everything. When he finished, he said, the tape ministry, you know, in the days of tapes, recorded 5,000 purchases of tape, which every Sunday we normally have 700,000. That's like 15, 18 years ago, talked about on a single Sunday, 700,000. And that day, 5,000. You know, that means people were very angry. What nonsense. Now, what do you think will happen to offering that day? When people are angry, I'm talking about people probably that will give a million naira offering and just angry. Nonsense. See, there is money. That's why you can come up and come and talk to us anyhow. Praise God. Because we're very angry. And he said it. He said, every time he does, not only that, he said, every time, he said, we don't know what's going to happen next Sunday. He said, every time he preaches like that, on the next Sunday, church is empty. And in that case, when he told me that's what happened yesterday, by the next Sunday, he gave me a feedback. He said, church emptied out. Said the man of God came back to the pulpit and appeals to the people's conscience. You know, he's like, hey, it's mistake more my shit. The nonsense most for you. Go rebel your age, oh. And then people begin to regard that again. Not easy. Not easy. That's why people will speak this message and this gospel with audacity and courage. That's the kind of men and women God is raising. Who love not their life unto death. And that's the kind of people we must be if we will come into the day of our God. We must overcome the fear of death. If we gain access, entrance into the day of our God. There's a wonderful friend of mine that told me this a couple of years ago again. Wonderful man of God. Invited me. Oh, let me first say this. There was a bishop that invited me a couple of years ago. No, he didn't. I had not even come to his church. He visited me in the house. Big man of God. Came with a lot of entourage. And he said we should exchange notes. What did I minister yesterday? I said, just simple teaching. I talked about walking in the spirit. By the time I gave some details, he was welling up with anger. He says, some of you, see, people like you that spoiled the work of ministry. That's what he said. Those are his words. My wife was there. He said, people like you that spoiled the work of ministry. When you begin to teach God's children, I mean, your people, all this, they won't need you again. Yes. They're exposing them to all this. They won't need you. And listen to what I told him. I said, man of God, you actually got the point. Honestly, that's where I think God is taking us. Where they will be so enlightened and understanding of the ways of God and the things of the Spirit that we preachers need to know where John the Baptist, that we point them to the Lord. If we will reveal the Lord, they don't need you again. All they need is the Lord. I said, you got it, sir. The man was frustrated. The poor man was frustrated.
Jesus, we thank you for I am Anifutemele, Kamek Mendoko Fita Liver. I am their Lord, I am their Lord. Their desire should be to me. Their desire should be to me. Their longing should be to have me. Their longing should be to have me. I am the one they need. I am the one they need. I am the one they ought to need. I am the one they ought to need. Oh, and not any other. And not any other. And not any other. For lo saith the Lord, I am jealous. I am jealous. I am jealous. And that is why I have raised my servants in the earth to turn hearts to me. To turn hearts to me. Have you not read? Have you not heard? That unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. That unto the Lord shall the gathering of his people be. That I ought to be their God and their Lord. That I ought to be their God and their Lord. Hey, for now I say to you that a church will emerge. The church will emerge. Oh, whose Lord is the Christ? Whose Lord is Christ? Whose Lord is Christ? Whose God is the everlasting Father? Whose desire is, to have their God. To have their God. To have their God. Even that church will be known again. That church will be seen again. That church will be raised again. Because I have equipped my servant. I have raised my servants. All over the earth they have been enlarged. They have been equipped. And I am visiting them with light. I am coming to them with light. With an audacity. An audacity that cannot be gainsaid. They will proclaim shamelessly. They will proclaim with boldness. They will declare with boldness the things that ought to be heard. The things that ought to be spoken. That my church will be raised. That my children will grow. That my own plantings will emerge. That my own people will come up. Will come up and seek me. And seek me. And seek me. And seek me. For lo I tell you. Even in the gatherings where men have not sought me. Even out of those places I will fetch my own. I will fetch my own. I will gather them to hear me. I will gather them to hear me. For the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. The world and they.
they that dwell therein, even of every tribe and tongue, kindreds of the nations of the earth. I will gather my own. I will gather my own. I will raise them, even by the voice of my servants. Even by the voice of my servants. And they will seek me. They will love me. I will be their God. They will be my people, saith the Lord.
Amen. Praise God. I believe the Lord is saying to us that, you know, we've come to a point when everything else is going to fade away. And He, the Lord, is going to be the one standing in the midst of His people. His people will behold Him. He's raising men and women that will make Him visible in the earth. Praise the Lord. Praise the name of Jesus. You know, the beautiful thing, this is supposed to be personal, you know, the bishop I'm talking about, at some point, he started having crisis in his marriage. And the testimony is that he's got a lot of big men of God's friends. The wife didn't turn to any of them. He said, they're not sincere. And she came, God sent her to me to restore her and heal her. And mediating in the marriage crisis. Praise God. There's another friend that, you know, I had the privilege of ministering to God's people, that under his shepherding influence. And, you know, when he got back to me, he visited and said, Pastor Tayo, after you came, heaven troubled my soul. And the Lord said to me, you've been doing nonsense all this while. You've been holding management service. He said, they have a particular service, they call it management service, to appeal to a class of people. I've been doing the things that work, that I see other people do. And the Lord said to me, I've not called you to be like the other nations. So I want you to be teaching only one thing, knowing God. So he said, he started. He said, every Sunday, offering was reducing. As he was teaching on knowing God. And before you know it, people started reducing. They were initially, let's check him out, whether he's going to get over this stupidity. And when they realized that he was becoming dogged, he said, the people began to withdraw. And began to, he said something that gladdens my heart. He said, I found the truth. There's no going back. You know, God's going to bless us. Influence will come, success will come, prosperity will come. But first and foremost, God, heaven is looking for people who will love not their lives unto death. You see, one of the whole essence of the working of God in us, you know, the reason for the preaching of the gospel and the teaching of the gospel is a transformative change of the human soul. One of the things that God is going to work out in us is that He is preparing us to be a people that will overcome. The people that will jettison the earthly frame of our spiritual configuration. You see, there's the earthly, there's a frame that constitutes our makeup that is a barrier that would disqualify us from entering the day of the Lord. We must lay it down. Praise God. We must what? Lay it down. Let me put it this way. You see, the earthly frame of our spiritual configuration is liable to fade away. What did I say? The earthly frame of our spiritual configuration is liable to what? Fade away. But God wants us to be wise. And that's what the Holy Spirit told me. He said, I want my people to be wise. I want them to collapse the earthly frame before it expires. Whether we like it or not, it will what? Fade away. Because as long as we hold on to it, it would deprive us of the real glory. Let's look at the scripture. We'll wrap up here. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. From verse 1. The Bible says, for we know that what? If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. When the Bible says earthly house of this tabernacle, it's not talking about physical body. It's not just physical body. We know that the physical body is attached, comes under that law, no doubt. It's not just talking about physical. It's not talking about the fact that with time, man age and fades away with time. No doubt. It's a law. Praise God. But there is a spiritual content of that exists hidden in this physical body. It is called the carnal nature. There's a frame, the spiritual frame that is faulty, that exists within the nature. It fades with time. It is subjected to decaying process. Praise God. But what heaven wants of us is that you collapse it before it expires. If it dissolves, the word dissolve there means to annoy it, even to collapse it. It means to dethrone it. I like the word dethrone. The word annul implies that it's a law that we all come under. Let me tell you what that law says. That law says that if anyone hurts you, cut off that person. If anyone takes advantage of you, it's a different law that says seek reconciliation. Seek redemption of your brother. That's a different law. That's a different configuration. That law says that don't talk to that person. Cut that person. Hold that person in your heart. There is what the Bible calls celestial body. Or the gold, the glory. Let me put it this way. There is a frame. I don't know if you get what I'm saying. There is a frame. There is a spiritual stature that is faulty that makes us to be unforgiving. It's just like a child. Was it Reverend that was using that example? A child doesn't know how to. Pastor Tosin. A child doesn't know how to. If you offend a child and cause, you hurt the child, the next moment he wants to play with you. He has not developed that earthly frame. And that's what God wants us to collapse. We will not be like people who don't have sense. And that's what people say, that show ni sense. You are still giving to that person who cheated you. Do you have sense? Yes, God wants us to lose that sense. You see, the reason why marriages have crisis is because of that sense. When you hold to heart what somebody said against you, it's because there's a frame, there's a stature that is keeping us under the control of the flesh and the carnal nature. And God wants us to condemn it. God wants us to annul it. God wants us to collapse it. He wants us to dissolve it. There's got to be the dissolution of the configuration that is of corruption. It's not easy. It's like part of you. It's like that is what motivates your action, your conduct, if care is not taken, that is what prompts your vision. I'm talking about ministerial vision. Praise God. A lot happens in the ministry. A lot of manipulation, a lot of control, a lot of subjugation. There are ministries that go after your bank account. There are ministries that set you up and set people around you to control and monitor you. And it is supposed it is ministry. I don't mean white garment church. I don't mean some occultic set. But that thing has crept into the church. Praise God. Family, companies, businesses, how is it run? By divide and rule. It's coming from certain intelligence. Yes, and that thing is faulty. That thing is subjected under a certain rule and law and influence and spirit. That wisdom may be sophisticated. It's destructive. So that is what God wants to condemn. That is what God wants to annul. That is what heaven wants to dethrone. It's got to deserve it. There is a life in it. There is a rule. There is influence in it. There's a wisdom by which it runs. Praise God. There's an intelligence that is high up there. Very sophisticated. So when the scripture uses the word earthly is taken from the word epigeos. It means what is of the dust. What is of the corrupt nature. Wisdom, actions, suggestions, intentions. He wants to collapse it. It will fade away, no doubt. But before its expiration, it's got to have you yield to him to collapse it. And the reason is because if we do not collapse it, we will be deprived of a different building, a different frame that can, in whom the glory of God can be domiciled. The word building is taken from the word oikodomei, and it actually means architecture. There's certain architecture that the Lord wants to frame in us. Praise God. So I love the word architecture, but because it deals with specifications. It deals with prototype. So that the Lord wants to have us imbibe. Praise God. That's why it says Christ in us is the hope of glory. Remember Paul said, my little children, of whom I travail to birth, unto what Christ be formed. The word formed there is what mofu. Mofu means he wants to fabricate Christ into us. The will of Christ, the mind of Christ, the intelligence of Christ, the heart of Christ. That is what they are fabricating into us, fabricate until we become an edifice that can handle the glory of God. He said, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in heavens. For in these we what? We groan. The word groan means to crave. Stenazo means to crave. We crave. Nothing else we satisfy. Earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so be that we what? We're clothed, we shall not be found naked. You know, stigmatization is nakedness. And I don't care what you gain out of it. Lying is nakedness. Falsehood is nakedness. Cowardice is nakedness. And it doesn't matter what you gain out of it. It's nakedness. Therefore, we that are in this tabernacle groan, being burdened. Not for that we will be unclothed, but that clothed upon, that what? Mortality might be swallowed off by life. You see, there's a life that exists within our human formation that they want to exchange. They want to jettison. They want to rid us off. And then a different life takes us over. So God is living through us. That's what God is about. That's what the whole process is about and the dealing of God. Verse 5 in closing. Now he that hath wrought us for the self same thing is who? God. Who also has given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. So what the Bible is telling us is that the person of the Holy Spirit, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit is given us. What earnest there means, are born. It means as down payment. As down payment. The indwelling Spirit of God in us as a believer is given us as what? As down. Every time we pray in the Spirit, no, it's a witness. It's a down payment to something. Praise God. It's a witness to something. It's, what's the word? Another word for down payment. It's a guarantee. It's a deposit for something. So that you want to buy a car and you make payment of a deposit. What that simply means that you're doing that to secure it, to tie it down. Isn't that so? The Holy Spirit is given to tie you down. So incorruption is where God is actually up to it. Mortality. That is the promise. The promise is not two. The promise is one. Life eternal is the promise. The purpose of life is to be like him. That is the promise. That we will be like him. We will live like him. As he is in heaven, so we are on earth. That is where, that is the essence of the guarantee of the Spirit. Let's rise up on our feet. I want us to make conversation, personal conversation with the Lord. And just ask for His grace and His mercy. Lord, we ask for Your grace. We ask for Your mercy. We want to come into Your reign. We want to come into Your day. Where no flesh glory is in Your presence. Where mortality in us has been exchanged for immortality. Where the reign and the dominion of Christ that is everlasting is being instituted in and through us. Lord, we receive the grace to utilize the earnest of the Spirit. We receive the grace to implore the person of the Holy Spirit so that we will gravitate in the Spirit and ascend. That we will become the tabernacle of God that is existing among mankind. That the nation will find succor through us in You. Clothe us with Your beautiful garments Adore us with your ornament. Make us ready. Make us ready. Sound this alarm and make this proclamation in your holy mountain. Listen to this. I have come, says the Spirit of God, to take over the place of my rest in you. I have come. And the Life Campaign 2022, I will begin to sound the alarm. I will make you hear clearly the glorious sound of the feast of the Lord. I will begin to make you hear the instructions and the commandments of the law. I will begin to make you hear the music of the day of the Lord. I will begin to fine-tune your prophetic discernment. I am giving you sight to see. I am making you understand the prototype and the specification for the day of the Lord. I am giving you the grace to lay down your life, that you will love not your life unto death. I am giving you victory over the fear of death. You must first conquer the fear of death, and ultimately you will overcome death itself. But on this mountain, you will feast with the Lord. A beautiful fine wine. You will partake and dine with the Lord of marrow and meat and strong meat in the spirit, and drink to satisfaction. For as you drink, says the Spirit, you will vomit every wine of adversity. You will vomit every poisonous drink. And for thus says the Spirit of God, I am purging, I am cleansing, I am preparing, I am equipping, I am getting ready to fill you with my glory, says the Spirit of God. Nothing else will satisfy but the glory of God. The glory of God. I am getting the bride ready to be made one with our husband. And I'm preparing you as my bride to be joined with me. I am working in you. I'm doing a work of cleansing. I'm doing a work of sanctification. I'm doing a work of stretching. For the Lord has come with measuring lime, with measuring plumb, with plumb lime in his hand. He is stretching. He is collapsing. He is collapsing, he's putting and making together. For thus says the Spirit of God, you will carry my glory. You will carry the weightiness of my presence. You will become the love personified. You will showcase my life. You will showcase my wonder. You will showcase my beauty for the world to behold, says the Spirit of God. And I perceive the Lord saying to us, this life campaign is also a trigger point in the spirit. It's a trigger point. I will begin to multiply messengers in the body of Christ. Messengers in this city. Who will not preach what men and women want to hear. Not what man want to hear. But they will instead echo the outcry of God. For thus says the Spirit of God. You will begin to witness collapse of structures, collapse of empire, collapse of shrines that parade themselves to be the church of God, where man is being worshipped. You will begin to witness collapse. In some of those places, there will be battle. There will be battle. There will be tussle. And when you see chaos, sometimes a whole lot of secrets will be brought to open. But when you see chaos and you see all of these shameful things being exposed. For do not wonder, I will protect my name. For know that the Lord is at work. There will first of all be a shaking. There will first of all be a collapse. There will first of all be chaos. It will first be chaotic. Then all of a sudden, I will begin to bring in order. I'm raising shepherds that will feed my people after the knowledge of my heart, with the purity of the understanding and the knowledge of Christ. I am raising messengers that will trumpet the preparation of the day of our God. They will proclaim it. They will declare it. I will begin to stir the heart of the people. I am preparing an army. I am preparing an army that will invade Babylon. That will invade Babylon. An army that will plunder Egypt and take away the gold of Egypt for the building of the tabernacle of the Lord. Many people will be turned to the Lord. Many people that hitherto have been considered difficult to be reached by the working of the Spirit and the wowing of the Lord in the land, in the church, says the Spirit of God. You know, I still feel this body, the Lord speaking to us. The Lord is saying, comfort ye my people. Speak comfortably unto Jerusalem. Your warfare is over. Your iniquity is forgiven. For thus says the Spirit of God, I will wrought a quick work in righteousness. Speak to the barrel. For many of you who have suffered setbacks, many of you who have suffered castigation, you have been castigated and criticized, and you have been beaten and harassed, not for any wrongdoing, but for your love for God. The Lord is saying, I am fighting your battle. You are going to be still and let the Lord vindicate you. You know, it was said concerning Gideon, when he set up the destruction of the shrine of Baal, and the people were going to bring him out and they were going to punish him. And it was said, no, let him fight for himself. If Baal is capable of, you know, and it was said he became Jerubbaal. You know, Jerubbaal or something like that. That became his name. But I just perceive what the Lord is saying is that we have come to a point in which, you know, some of you may have even made mistakes. Out of pure zeal for God, you may have blundered. But the Lord is saying, I will heal your wound. I will take away your pain. Some of you have suffered. You have been castigated. Some of you, because you will not lift up your hand to do iniquity, because of the love for God and the fear of the Lord, and you appear to have lost out. But the Lord is saying, I'm your reward. And your reward will be visible. I will reward you with life everlasting. I will reward you. I will reward you. And that reward will not be in the next world, in this life, and in the world to come. I will reward you. And by the sense in the Spirit, you know, that cloak of weariness, that cloak of heaviness and weariness and discouragement is taking off the people of the Lord. And be strong in the Lord and be courageous, for the Lord is with you. For there shall be vindication. I will fight your battle. I will fight your battle. I will speak for you. The Lord is going to speak for you. The Lord is going to fight his battle. For I am with you, says the Spirit of God.
We believe you've heard the voice of the Lord by virtue of the words that has come unto you. Why don't you make it a date with us in any of our meetings? You can join us on Wednesdays for special teachings with Reverend Busuyi or Labadi by 5 p.m. and Sundays by 8 a.m. at Eternal Life Embassy, 175 at DME College Road beside Mercyland Hospital, Ondo. For more information, please call 0806-509-8130 or 0703-395-8818 or visit our website www.fmli.org. Remain blessed.